was young, Israel got taken into captivity by Babylon, and they got deported from Jerusalem back to Babylon. This was the last of three deportations that Israel went through. The first one being in 605 BC. This one is in 586 BC that they're going back. This is the one, the 586 BC, this is the one where the temple gets destroyed, Jerusalem gets destroyed, the gates get burned, complete destruction. And this is something where Daniel is, he's not even growing up in his homeland. But God has positioned this Jewish young man. God has given him favor with the Babylonian Empire. And he will wind up becoming the prime minister of Babylon. And God will place him in a place that he was never supposed to be. And as I was looking at Daniel's story, I'm like, you know, how often do we see in the Bible where someone will be placed in a place that's meant for their destruction, but God will use it for their advancement? And so we're seeing this unfold with Daniel. And Daniel, he's doing his morning devos. He's a guy who's committed to God. He loves Jesus with all of his heart, even in the midst of the exile that they're in. They're not even in the place that they're supposed to be. Here he is staying committed to God. And God is blessing this man in his life. So here he is doing his morning devos, and we're going to start off in Daniel. We're going to basically explore three Bible passages today. Just keep it simple for you guys. Next week, though, I'm serious. Turn to someone next to you and say, next week, buckle up. Because we're going to get wild next week. I'm just warning you now, okay? I'm just prepping you, but I don't know. Maybe some of you won't come back to church after next week, but that's okay. In Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start off. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, I want to say, it sounds like a dinosaur, by descent, a Mede, who was made king over the realm of all the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books of the number of the years that according to the word of the Lord of Jeremiah, the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. There's a lot here. Just this verse right here. One, we know about the date that this is happening in. So we're looking somewhere around 538, 539 BC this is written in. So if we're doing some math here, Daniel is around 80 years old when he writes this prophecy. The book of Daniel has basically two parts to it. You have chapters 1 through 6, which is basically Daniel just giving a narrative of things that have happened, stories that have taken place. Daniel in the lion's den comes out in that. But then you have chapters 7 through 12, where Daniel begins to see these visions and begins to write down and record these visions. And they're not necessarily in chronological order, but he starts to write those down. And so here we are now. You have chapter 7, he begins to have the visions of the four kingdoms that pop up. And you have Babylon, you have Medo-Persia, you have the Greeks, and what some scholars would say is the Romans, and some would say we don't know yet as the fourth one. And so you have that in chapter 7. Well, fast forward to chapter 9, and now Daniel's going to have another vision, but he's doing it during his devotions. Daniel's getting in the Word. Listen, let's not forget, experiencing God can happen while reading the Bible. It's not separate. You can be. How many of you have read something and God just stops you in your tracks? And something, maybe you never read it that way before, but it hits you in such a powerful way. And Daniel, this is happening with Daniel. Daniel is having an aha moment. He's having a moment where things that were maybe forgotten suddenly get remembered. Promises that maybe people wondered, is this ever going to happen? And suddenly Daniel reads something and it clicks. No, God's promises are yes and amen. And so in Daniel, we know it happens around, he's around 80 years old when this is taking place. And he begins to read Jeremiah. Now, Israel has been in desolation now for around 67, 68 years. And what starts to happen is Daniel suddenly gets really good at math. He's starting to go, wait a second. what Jeremiah said was going to happen, I'm in that. Daniel's beginning to realize he is in the midst of prophecy taking place. A lot like, listen, in our culture today, what's going on with our world, we're literally seeing prophecy taking place in front of our eyes. We're seeing God's word being true. We're being reminded that the promises in the Bible are true. They're happening. Daniel's in that moment. Here he is in all those years of desolation and all the persecution that he went through and the challenges and his faith being challenged. And is this ever going to happen? And suddenly he reads that in Jeremiah and he goes, my God is a God of his promises. We've only got a couple more years. That's it. And we're getting out of this place. We're blowing this taco stand. We're getting out of here. And there begins to almost be like this revival inside of him. I mean, I don't know if any of you have experienced anything like where you've waited so long for something that has been promised to you. I mean, Lions fans, it may be a while before you win a Super Bowl, and it has not been promised to you. But that's kind of what it's like, is you're waiting for this promise to happen. And in our culture today, listen, 70 years is a long time. We're a culture that does not like to wait, do we? We're not good at waiting. If you're in a fast food line and it's not going fast enough, it's not fast food anymore. It's a slow food line. And we get impatient. And so here you have Daniel who he's waited all these years and maybe at some point he's forgotten. But God will use his word to remind people at the right time. And so he's reading, and he goes into Jeremiah, and if you want to turn there, you can. In Jeremiah 29, very familiar chapter, very probably one of the most taken out of context verses in the Bible we're about to read, okay? But we're going to correct that for a moment. And we're in Jeremiah 29. And so Daniel, in Daniel 9, he references Jeremiah. Daniel has a lot of admiration for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was such a man of God, and you know, he was called the weeping prophet. This is a guy who had the heart of God. And so he'll read in Jeremiah, and we'll start at verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are complete, this is what Daniel's reading in his morning devos. On year 68 of the exile. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. What is this place? It's Jerusalem. It's home. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you heard that verse? How many of you have that verse on a fridge or a pillow or a card or whatever? That verse we often take as a promise to us, but the reality is it's God's promise specifically to the Jewish people. He is telling them, you have been in exile, you are in Babylon, but I'm going to bring you back because the promise that I made to your father Abraham, I'm going to keep it. God doesn't forget. And so he's reminded of this promise that God, listen, can you imagine being in captivity for almost 70 years? You're not going to have a whole lot of hope. And you're not going to think there's much of a future. I mean, how many of you watch Red Dawn? Okay, that movie freaked me out as a kid. Scared me to death. And just the thought of having that take us over, just the thought of it, scared me to death as a kid. It was like a horror movie as a child. Because I was scared to death of getting nuked and all that stuff, you know? And just think of it actually happening. And that's what Israel has experienced. They've been nuked. And now they're in this other place, and there is no hope, there's no future, there's no way of getting out of this, but thank God we have a mighty, strong God that never forgets his promises to his people. And so now you have Daniel, who's, maybe he's been hopeless for a while, we don't know, But he's reading this, and he's getting that spark that there is a hope and there is a future for God's people. Because when God's in the equation, anything is possible. And what man looks at and says, this is horrible, it's never going to happen, there's no way, that's when God tends to step in, right? That's when God says, hey, when there's no way with man, there's a way with God. And so Daniel begins to get that spark back in him. And then what happens is, what does he do? Now, first of all, let's explore the why. Why 70 years? Why not 50 years? Why not 150 years? 70. That's a very specific number. Well, shocker, Israel was disobedient to God's laws. Isn't that incredible to think about? You know, what? They seem to have this problem obeying the laws of God over and over and over again. Well, here's what's happened. There's a commandment you're going to find in Leviticus 25 where it talks about, you know, working the land for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, you let the land rest. And on the seventh year, you let the land rest, you let it renew. But Israel wasn't, by the way, it's also that year where you give the land rest, it's also where we get the word sabbatical. And so you let that land rest. Well, Israel wasn't doing that. Israel wasn't letting, now here's another thing too. What's your favorite decade? This one, the 70s. Why the 70s, Bobby? I gotta know. The music. It's gotta be the music. Play that funky music. Okay, all right. So we got the 70s. We've got 2024. Anybody else has a favorite decade? Yeah? The 50s, okay. Now, I was a kid, but for me, it's the 80s. No doubt about it, the 80s. Man, hair bands, striper, okay. Yeah, some of you are like, who? Petra. I'm going Christian bands, okay, guys? All right, just White Cross. Anyhow, great movies, Back to the Future, Star Wars, you know. That was just so awesome. That's my favorite decade. And that's how we, as our culture, that's how we, you know, determine blocks of years and decades, right? Well, in Jewish culture, it was in years of seven. Sevens. So they would always break up their decades, if you want, into seven. And so that's why when you have the 70 weeks, what's happening is God's doing math for Israel. Israel has spent 490 years not taking a Sabbath. So let's not forget, in the Ten Commandments, what's one of the commandments that God gives? To rest on the Sabbath. Little word of advice. If it's a commandment, you need to do it. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's not the 10 self-help tips, okay? It's God saying, you need to do these things or don't do these things. And one of them is you need to rest. Boy, I'm glad that God knows better than we do. Because American culture, we pride ourselves on workaholic, being a workaholic. I work hard, work. And that kind of seems to be the badge of honor in the American culture. You know, look how hard I work. I constantly work. I'm a work. No, you're a moron. You're going to burn out. You're going to have health issues. You're going to lose your family. God's looking at this and he's saying, listen, yeah, I'm all about you working hard, but your body, this land, needs to rest and recover. So here you have Israel for 490 years. Work. The whole entire time disobeying a commandment of God. So God says, okay, I'm going to do some math that it is 70 years. So God says, okay, I'm going to give you guys and I'm going to give this country a rest for 70 years. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to put you guys in timeout over in Babylon. And you're all going to go in timeout. And we're going to give this land some time to rest. Boy, what's happening? And this so easily happens in our lives. We can get so focused on the wrong things that we lose track of the right priorities in our lives. And we don't stop, and we don't assess our lives, and we don't take a break to let our spirits be renewed and refilled, and we're just go, 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 go. And sometimes God will put you in a position in your life where you are going to take a sabbatical, whether you like it or not. And you may not like it, and it may not be what you need, but it may be the very thing that Daniel experiences in chapter 9, where something clicks. Because what will happen is Daniel will give this prayer. It's interesting. He reads this. What is the first thing he does? He starts to pray a prayer of repentance of himself and over all of Israel. God, we got this wrong for a really long time. Forgive us, God. Restore us back to your people. Would you bless us once again? You start to see this prayer of repentance. That's the one thing about God's timeouts that are wonderful. They're a positioning for your blessing. When you allow that time of rest to take place, listen, I went through it in my life, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was not fun. But I'll tell you what, the moment where I allowed God to just say, where I told God, God, I don't know why this season of my life is happening, but you've put me in it, and whatever it is that you need to do in my heart, let me do it. And here's the thing, I was trying so hard to get out of it. I was trying everything I could think of to get out of it. Instead of just allowing God in his timing to do the work in my heart he needed to do. And then I can remember the moment where I'm like, okay, God, this it's yours. And when you give that over to God, it changes everything. And so here you have Daniel repenting for a nation that disobeyed God for so 490 years of disobedience. That's a lot of disobedience. I don't know if you knew that or not. Some of you, for you, your children, 1 week of disobedience is enough. This is 490 years of people ignoring God's law. You know how much it hurts to get ignored? Men, when our wives speak and they ask us what they were saying, and we say, uh-huh, and how do you think that makes them feel? It's like God, who loves us very, very much, and listen, he gave us his laws because he loves us, not because he's some jerk up in heaven. It's because he's trying to protect us. He knows how much we need rest. He knows better than we do. And so you have this country who's ignoring God's love letter to them, ignoring it. How do you think that hurts God's heart? And there comes a point where you see the parenting side of God say, okay, my child, it's time for time out. We're taking the electronics away, and you're gonna take a break. And that's where this is happening. So you have that. In 2 Chronicles, we're gonna kind of back up even more. In 2 Chronicles, oops. And we are in, I will even give you 36. And this will be the last Bible passage for this morning. This is yet again the prophecy that's gonna happen to Israel that Daniel finds himself in real time. And in 36, the title in my Bible of chapter 36 is Judah's Decline. Judah's Decline. There's a song by Casting Crowns. I don't know if you've heard it or not. But it's a song called The Slow Fade, where the often spiritual decline in our lives happens one little bit at a time. It's not always a sudden thing. It's something that we forget. We forget a little thing here, and we forget a little thing here. And then over time, our spiritual condition slowly erodes. And that's what's been going on in Israel. And so now we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And the caption here is Jerusalem captured and burned. Boy, wouldn't that be a fun thing to read in your morning devotions? Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion, on young men or virgin, old men or aged. He gave them all into his hand. Listen, this is the part of God that we struggle to understand. We love that God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy, and he is. But let's, with mercy, oftentimes you'll see the phrase, slow to anger. Let's be honest. God is slow to anger, meaning that he's going to get there eventually. And we don't like that part. But here's the other side of it. How many chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, how many of those do you want me to repeat? After chance, after chance, after chance, will you give somebody before you're like, enough, I'm out, I'm done? In our humanness, we don't give very many to people that burn us, right? Let's even go back further to the promised land. And people get upset when God gives Israel the command to wipe out the land in the promised land. And they're like, why would a loving God do that? Why would this God of love and mercy and kindness and all of this, why would he tell Israel to do something like that? Well, we also forget the 400-year chance all of these nations had to repent and turn around. And there just comes a point where it's like, I'm done. We also don't like to think about this. Listen, at the second coming, the hammer's coming down. There comes a point where it comes to an end. But also remember, God is slow to anger. So we're on both sides. It's like, God, would you just hurry up and get this over with? I want to go to heaven. But then there's the other side where we're like, God's, I'm trying to give humanity every chance possible to turn this thing around, to repent and come back to myself. So God is kind and God is merciful. Romans 2:4 will talk about how God's kindness will lead us to run away from sin. And you know, that's the cry of God's heart. Even in this repentance thing, Daniel's remembering the kindness and the mercy and the love of God. And he's remembering the blessings of God. And he's remembering all of those good things that God did for them. But after 490 years of disobeying the law, God said, I got to give you guys a break so you can get your hearts right and turn this thing around. So back to 2 Chronicles 36. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all its palaces with fire and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept the Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. So this is getting mapped out, that this is going to happen. This is why this is happening, and this is the route that it's going to take. Like I said, this is a four-week journey we're going to be on, so it might end at a place where you're like, well, what's the rest of the story? Well, I'm not Paul Harvey. So Gen Z, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I love it. And now, the rest of the story. So Daniel gets interrupted in his prayer. Isn't it frustrating when God interrupts you when you're praying? I mean, you've got all this important stuff to tell God. And so here you have Daniel that's praying this prayer of repentance, and then he gets interrupted. Like, hey, God, I'm talking. I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of a prayer. One of your, you know, woe is me prayers and how horrible everything is, and then God decides to interrupt you. And this is what happens. So you have Gideon, who decides to interrupt Daniel. We're fast forwarding to verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord, my God, for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision the first time, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. Okay, we're going to nerd just for a second, okay? Like I said, next week, buckle up. But this is really interesting. First of all, does anybody know how many archangels there are mentioned in the Bible? Anybody know? There's three. Okay, one's Michael. Michael's function is God's bouncer. Okay? Michael's the dude that's going to lead you into war. That's Michael. Well, then you have another one, and maybe some of you didn't think of him this way, but there's another archangel. His name was Lucifer. That's the other one. Okay? Then you have the third one, Gabriel. When you see Gabriel pop up in the Bible, it's usually because he's delivering a message about the coming Messiah. He's always connected to Jesus, the coming of Jesus. That's Gabriel's job. So here we see Gabriel pop up. Well, we know now. I mean, we have the beauty of hindsight, right? We can look back and be like, wow, this Daniel's going to get a message about Jesus. By the way, Daniel 9 is known as the backbone of biblical prophecy. This is a huge chapter, which is why we're going to dedicate 4 weeks to it, because it's going to lead up to the cross. And so you have Gabriel speaking to Daniel. Well, we know, because we have the benefit of hindsight, this is a message about Jesus. Daniel's about to be told something about Jesus. So here he is. The foreshadowing here is so cool because let me just read it, and then we'll go. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first time, came to me with swift flight. He came in fast. Would that scare any of you? You're just praying, having your cup of coffee at Babylon Bucks, and you're just, you know, having devotion time with God, and suddenly this giant angel comes flying in on you. How many of you would probably spill your coffee and wet yourself? Okay. He made me understand. I love that phrase. You're going to understand this. Like, this is a command. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. God hears your prayers. A word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand this vision. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression." We're going to dive into this more next week, okay? But what he's talking about is he's talking about the coming Messiah. He says there's a Messiah coming. And this message from Gabriel right here, it's the first time the word Messiah is used as a title in the Bible. It's used to say the king is coming, the savior of the world is coming. And so Daniel's hearing this, and he's saying, wait a second, there's a Messiah. So Gabriel is giving him this message that the Messiah, Jesus, is coming. He's on his way. The clock is going to start ticking. By the way, Daniel 9 is the greatest time clock in human history. And we're going to explore that next week. 70 weeks are decreed about your people, your holy city, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin. Who could he possibly be talking about? And to atone for the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophets, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming out of an anointed one, a prince. The word prince there, remember, this is a few months back. When you see the word prince in the Old Testament, that means ruler. It means king. This is a ruler. This is a king that is coming. Where am I at? I lost my spot. Oh, here we go. You guys get to cheat back there. That's not fair. Then for 62 weeks, it shall be built. Listen, we're not going to get too much in the dates this week, okay? But what's happening right now is going to be, it's going to be amazing. For those of you that don't know a whole lot about the Bible, please, if this is like drinking from a fire hose, next week is going to get even worse. And I just hope, I hope that it enriches your life. If anything, I hope that it challenges you to study the Word of God. I hope that in this chapter, we can see that God's plans are yes and amen, and he promises a Savior. And we can, because of Daniel 9, we can map out when that Savior's coming. And we can map out times and specific dates and just the power of the Word of God and his promise and how he gets, and we're going to explore that next week. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off. Okay, I'm going to stop there just for a second because I forgot a thought I earlier said. Welcome to my post-sickness. So, Daniel, Gabriel comes to Daniel, and he comes to Daniel to tell about Jesus, this coming sacrifice that's going to take away sin. He's going to end all sin. So Gabriel's coming. When I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and sin of my people, and presenting my plea before the Lord God at the holy hill, my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at first, came to me with swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. Time of the evening sacrifice. That is a profound phrase. The evening sacrifice. Now, here's a couple things that are going on. It's interesting that Daniel puts that in there because there's no sacrifices going on right now. They're in Babylon. There's no temple. There's no tabernacle. Nothing to sacrifice to. There's no priest that can do the sacrifices. That whole system's been wiped out. So here he is. Something inside of him is praying at the hour of sacrifice. If you were to give that a time, it's around 3 o'clock, okay? When Jesus is crucified, it's at 3 o'clock. Same time. God's in control, y'all. He dies at 3 o'clock. So here's Daniel being told at 3 o'clock that a Savior is coming that's going to end all sin, and now you're going to have hundreds of years later, Jesus who will die on a cross at 3 o'clock. God's word is powerful. That's just a taste of next week, okay? That's just a little bit. That's going to start. So now we're going to end here, and we're going to have the rest of the story next week. Just to show you that in the midst of it all, the darkness, God's promises still shine. So wherever you're at in your life, never forget God's promises. Never forget the power of his word in your life. Cling to those. And let yourself be like a Daniel, that even in that darkest hour, that 67th year, when you're reading the word of God and you don't even know why maybe, and something pops out to you, and you get reminded of God's promise in your life. Amen? Amen. Hey, we're gonna stop it here. Next week, part 2. And I'm not kidding, it's going to be a fire hose next week, okay? You good with that? Okay, all right. God, we just thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. We thank you that you are a God of the promise. That you are a God that is rich in mercy, you are rich in love, and you long for your people to come back to you. Jesus, for any sin that's been in my life, I want to repent. Is there anything in your word that I haven't been following wholeheartedly? Today I repent. And I think of that song that we sang this morning, and when the music fades and all is stripped away, and that was Daniel. Everything had been stripped away from Israel. Everything. Their wealth. And here he is saying a prayer. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. God, I'm coming back to you. So much of Daniel 9 is about repenting. So God, help us as a people, your people today. Help us to be people that are quick to repent and to turn back to you. Man, and I don't know anybody in this room, no matter how far away you've ran from God, it is just one turnaround step back to him. And here you have a scene where the nation of Israel had ran, so they had ran 490 years from God. And here you have Daniel on the behalf of his people saying, oh God, we're going to turn around. Because God does have wonderful things for your life. He has promises for you. He does have hope for you. But will you turn around? Will you repent? And say, God, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm done running. I'm done trying to do all the work on my own. And if, I know that we're a church group. I get that. Maybe online, you're watching because you always watch us. Man, but if there's anybody in here and you're saying, today's the day I want to turn my life around. Today's the day I'm done running. I want to run back into my Father's arms. I want to give my life to Jesus. And if there's anybody in this room, you know, don't be ashamed. Listen, we are all people who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. But I have been saved by the grace of Jesus. And that's all it takes. It's all it takes. It's just saying, God, I give my life to you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Be the Lord of my life. Man, if there's anybody in this room and you're saying that's you, would you be honest and just raise your hand? There's no shame here. None at all. Like I said, periodically we're going to do this. Every once in a while, we're just going to say, thank you. You can lower your hand. That's fine. Thank you. And I want all of us to pray this together. Just repeat after me. Just real simple. You know what I love about Jesus? It's not complicated. It's simple. Would you repeat after me? Jesus, today, I thank you for your never-ending love for me. And I thank you that in this God story, you have shown me your love, your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. And Jesus, today, I'm done running away. I'm turning my life around. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, for those of you that prayed that, welcome to the family. Yeah, welcome to the family. Praise God. Next week, we're going to dive in. We're going to deep dive. So bring your snorkel, okay? And have a great week. You know, enjoy the summer weather and get a tan, and we'll see you next Sunday. All right.